And we went to church that night. They have a Christmas Eve's Eve service. But I went to church that morning by myself to a local church that did service with excellence. It was very, very, very well done. Very well orchestrated, put together with excellence. But very little anointing, very little spirit that I felt was there. So I want you to know that's not who we are, and that's not where we're going. We always have an agenda for the service. We always have a structure to our service. But I think you know by now it's held together very loosely. Because we want the involvement of the Holy Spirit. We want the spontaneous. And that may freak some people out just a little bit because it's not so structured. But you know, the Bible says let everybody come with a praise, a psalm, a word. Every one of us should come together like that. And that's what this sister did up here. It was just a praise that began to come out of her. Totally in line. That's okay. Now we will stop it. You know, if it goes on and I feel like, okay, it's time to go to another, to move on, I will stop that. But are you getting me? This is not a professional service. It's a spiritual service. You're not having a professional encounter with God. You're going to have a spiritual encounter. That's what we long for. I don't know about you. I'm tired of religion. I want an encounter with God. I want to talk to you today, coming out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 through 14. I have a very short sermon today. So, yeah, right. It looks short, I'll say that. But I entitled this 2019 challenge is to live as children of light. My 2019 challenge for you is live as children of light. Now let's look into this in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. In verse 1 he starts off, be an imitator of God. Mimic God. He's not skipped his thoughts here. So he's continuing on in verse 5. He says, for this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you, seeking your face, and seeking to know the mind of the Lord today. God, my heart's desire is that every one of us would be changed today. Every one of us would be challenged by the Spirit of God. That this book that we hold in our hands, whether in its electronic form or the old-fashioned book, I pray that it becomes alive. I pray that it would become more valuable than gold to us. That we desire your word more than gold. God, we need to change. We need to be more like you in 2019 than we've ever been. This world needs an example of Jesus Christ on earth as the light exposes darkness. Let our light bring life to many. God, have your way in this service. Lord, we give you our thoughts. We give you our ears. We take captivity over our thoughts and minds. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. He starts off and he says, no immoral, impure, or greedy person. That's some more terms that we would use. No immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand, this is present tense. He's not necessarily speaking of heaven. He's speaking of the kingdom of God here on earth. Which bothers me just a bit. Because I think we always have immoral, impure, greedy people in the earth. And that doesn't bother me. Because as long as you live, I want you to know that sinners will continue to sin. That's their nature. That's who they are. We should not be bothered when sinners sin. We should be bothered when Christians sin. Because we have got a new nature. We're new creation, right? We've been born again. We're new. He's saying that none of this is going to be in, have an inheritance with him. Think about these words. Immoral, impure, that's thoughts, and greedy. And I have found that those three things have wormed themselves into the teaching of the kingdom of God. To where now these three things are actually acceptable in the church. Now that ought to bother you just a bit. Because he's saying that has nothing to do with my kingdom. But I find now that we are preaching grace that says, you don't have to change. God's grace covers your nasty self. So you can stay nasty forever. That's not grace. That's a perversion of the gospel. You hear me? We have a doctrine that says God wants to make everyone rich. And it appears to me the only people that are getting rich are those that are preaching the gospel. I believe in prosperity. Do you know, I never once had the thought when I was raising my children, I hope they're as poor and as destitute as I was when I was a kid. I never thought that. All I ever wanted for my children was to be better off than me. I wanted to give them a better start. Now, I believe that that attitude came from him. I believe when God looks down upon his children, he wants to bless them. And that's the prosperity that I believe in. I believe that God wants to better us, to give us a better life. I do not believe that God wants every one of us to be rich. I believe that we are rich, actually. I believe that if every one of us had $1 million in the bank, we'd probably have a whole lot fewer people in the seats today. Bible says it's very difficult for a rich man to go to heaven. And yet we have an element in the kingdom of God that's preaching this, that makes it sound like if you're not rich in finances, then you're doing something wrong. And I don't believe it. I want to stand before you today and say, you may not have two pennies to scratch together today, and that has nothing to do with your faith. Now, I don't believe we should stay there. I don't believe that we should say, okay, this is my lot in life and I'll never get... No, let's move on. Let's believe God for a better day. Let's... Here's a four-letter word for you. Let's work for it. Because God says he blesses the work of your hands. I don't have much faith for these people that keep going to the mailbox. Think they're going to win the, what is it, the Publisher's Clearinghouse. Or I just don't find that the Lord uses that way much. It may happen occasionally, but I find that prosperity comes from those who's willing to work. And God blesses you. You know, there's a gentleman in the church that every time we have a serious talk, he says, I believe God has been better to me than any man alive. And I said, you know what? Every person in the church ought to be able to say that. See, I hope your attitude is, God has been so good to me. He has blessed me. But I don't want your mind to stay on the blessing itself. I want your mind to stay on Him. Matthew 6:20 says, lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Sometimes money has a way of gripping us. And our focus can become about money rather than about Him. And I find that sometimes this doctrine of prosperity has a way of turning people's thoughts to where we're focused on what we can get. And I find that all of Christianity is really not about what you get. It's about what you give. It's about serving. The whole kingdom is about serving. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. I got news for you today. We are living in that day. We are in that time where people want to go to a church that they hear a doctrine that says, I don't have to change. I can live any old way and I'm going to go to heaven. You're not going to hear it here. You're in the wrong church. He goes on, and the second thing that I really got from this is the thing that really I could not get away from. And first of all, he says, let no one deceive you. And John Bevere says, the trouble with deception is it's deceiving. You don't know many times that you are being deceived. Have you ever been tricked by a good salesman or a con artist? You thought you were getting the best deal of your life and someone is just pulling you in. They're saying, come here, sucker, come here. There's a fool born every minute and I'm taking everything I got from you. Right? Don't be deceived. Anytime you see those words, your ears need to perk up and you need to say, I need to evaluate myself. Because I don't want to find myself in the area of deception. He said, don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. Now the King James says vain words, and that phrase got me. Empty words. How much talk do we do today? Have you ever heard someone, or maybe you've been guilty of this, and maybe you're thinking, I think I'm right here in the moment listening to you, Pastor. Where you hear someone talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and never say anything. Those are empty words. Those are vain words. Empty words don't have truth to them. When Satan came as a form of a serpent to Eve, he came with vain words. There was no truth. Oh, that's not the way God is. He deceived Eve in a perfect environment where God came down every day and talked to them. don't be foolish today. Don't you think that he can't deceive you? If he could deceive Eve, who was talking to God every day in person, we better evaluate ourselves every once in a while. I don't want you to be the person speaking vain and empty words. And I don't want you to be deceived by the person speaking vain and empty words. Promising you something that you cannot ever receive. A doctrine that sounds too good to be true probably is too good to be true. This doctrine of grace that is being taught that says, you say this prayer and accept him as Lord, and then he covers everything and really you really don't have to change. That's vain. That's empty and there's no truth in it. The doctrine that says God wants everyone to be wealthy, rich, millionaires. If you only have enough faith, everyone you lay your hands on will be healed. Boy, how I wish that was true. If you have enough faith. And I find that obviously no one has enough faith. Because it's not happening for anyone. It's vain. It's a doctrine that does not contain the truth. It doesn't go along with the whole book. Romans 2:15 says that we are to be not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 2:15 and Hebrews chapter 8:10 says almost the same thing. It says that God's law is written in our hearts and minds. God's law is written in your heart and mind. So when you hear something that does this to you, it just doesn't jive. It doesn't, oh, that don't sound right. It probably is not. Because God did something marvelous for us. He put his law in our hearts. He goes on, he says, you really don't even need a teacher. I could take you back to that nursery class today. And those nursery kids, 2 and 3 years old, can tell you what's right and wrong. They may be doing some of it, but they'll still tell you it's wrong. They're fighting the same battle we are with selfishness and the angel of the Lord told Mary, he says, nothing is impossible with God. And I'm so thankful for those words that they're not vain and they're not empty. So when people come to you and tell you that, you know what, you were just born on the wrong side of the tracks, you ought to dismiss those words. If they tell you it's as good as it's ever going to get, dismiss those words. If someone has spoken over you and says you'll probably be in jail by the time you're 18, dismiss those words. They're defeated words. I believe that God causes us to triumph. I believe that God wants us to prosper and to do well and to win, to be victorious. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have a few battles. I find that there's not a whole lot of difference between the world and us sometimes when we look at our lives. They die. So do we. They get sick. So do we. Some of them go broke. So do we. Some of them get divorced. So do we. What's the difference, Pastor? Because you're really started depressing me at the moment. The difference is he never leaves us. And if you will cling to him, you will be victorious. You get it? He says, don't partner with people speaking vain words. Now, most of the time when we think of the word partner, we think about marriage. For God's sake, don't marry somebody that speaks vain and empty words. But he's talking about more than just marrying. Don't partner. Don't be a business partner with someone that tells you lies. Don't let your best friend be someone that speaks vain and empty words to you, that's always telling you how bad it's going to be, how stupid you are, or you're such a loser. That is not your friend. And I find that sometimes we find ourselves in bed with these, not literally in bed, but we're in partnership with them. Sometimes it's people that you work with and you just can't get away from them because you're on the same line. But don't give them your heart. Don't give them much attention. I'm not saying don't be friends with them because that's the way you win them to Christ. But don't partner with them. Don't let them speak into your life. We need to let the gospel be the one that's speaking in our life. And I want you to know that you don't need to speak vain and empty words over your own life. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, quit telling yourself how dumb you are. Quit telling yourself what a loser you are. That nothing ever works out for you. Change your confession. Change your words. Change your life by your words. Do you know that worship and worry cannot occupy the same space? I find that when I have times of anxiety, I try to begin to worship the Lord. And it seems like the anxiety will leave as I worship, especially corporate worship. He goes on, he says, "You were once darkness, but now you're light." I love that verse. I absolutely love this verse. And I've talked to you before about it many times. He does not say you were in the darkness. Now, one verse later on or in another book, he does say that. He said you were in the darkness. He doesn't say that there. He says you were the darkness. Let me say it this way. You are the kids that other parents said don't hang around those kids. You were. You were the darkness. You were the ones that led other people astray. But God, you are not that way any longer. You're not darkness. You're not even part of the darkness. You've come out of the darkness, and now you are children of light. Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world," and you are His Son. What's that look like, Pastor? Isn't that an interesting thought? Just the way you probably know someone that when they're there, the room gets a little darker. It gets a little dirty. You feel like you need to take a bath after you spend much time with this person. See, you're the exact opposite. Wherever you go, even if you're in Walmart, and you just happen to see somebody in aisle 5. And you happen to be there. You ought to brighten their day. Why? Because you are light. Light exposes the darkness. If we could turn off every light and darken the windows today to where it was pitch black in here, and I just had this little light and lit it, it would illuminate this room, and that's you. You see, we live in a really dark world and it's not getting better. It's getting worse. It's getting darker. But you are not part of that darkness. You're part of the solving of the problem. You are the light of the world. Why? Because Jesus is in you. Live as children of light. He says, if you live as children of light, there's a trifecta benefit to this. Did you get this? The fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now put that on for a second. Are these words that people would use to describe you? Goodness, righteousness. You remember Lydia in the Bible? She had a reputation for doing good to everybody, right? Man, when she died, they couldn't get her back to life quick enough. I hope people mourn my passing. I hope they don't stand and applaud.
Oh, thank God he's dead.
Goodness, righteousness, and truth. In our world, we only like to speak truth when it's when it benefits us, when it's positive. We don't like to speak truth when we say, if you keep going in that direction, you're going to burst hell wide open. Hey, the end result for where you're going or what you're doing is not good. See, when, come on, Pastor. I'm not that kind of Christian. That's heavy, man. That's heavy. I don't want to be that heavy. Well, maybe your friends need to hear somebody that heavy. I find we have such a cheap love today. No one wants to speak truth. If I knew on your way home the bridge was out, but you couldn't see it until you get there. But I heard it on the news. Hey, right around that really sharp corner that you take too fast every time, the bridge is totally out. Be careful today. Well, I don't want to say anything that heavy to you. I don't want to disrupt your day. Go and be blessed. God bless you. Funny, that ain't love. That ain't love. People don't even like to correct their own kids today. And we have this perversion in our minds that it's love. That I love them too much to correct them. Where'd you get your definition of love? Jesus loves us, therefore he corrects us when we're wrong. You ever been corrected by the Holy Ghost? Oh yeah. It's always kind, but it's straightforward. In the next couple of days, if you're like most people, you're probably going to start making some resolutions in your mind. Well, you know, I want to be a different person in 2019, so I'm going to make this resolution. And most of them last for about 3 days, if that long. But don't quit making them. See, the world would say, it ain't going to last. You're not going to do it, so don't make it. One of these days it'll stick. One of these days it'll work for you. You keep making a resolution. You keep saying, I'm going to read my Bible through this year. I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to speak positive over myself this year. I'm going to take a college class this year, even though I'm 72. Hey, they're free when you're over 65. As long as you can fog a mirror, you ought to learn. Keep learning. Keep growing. Told some of you before, we moved to a new neighborhood and we met Mark and Sue Thompson, and he invited me to his house one day and let me come in his house, and he was just showing me, and our houses are similar. Took me into one room, which was his office. It's what impressed me the most. is that his Bible was open and other books laying around it where this man was devouring the Word of God. He wasn't just reading it. He was devouring it. He was wanting to change. You see, if you really want to change, a resolution is where it starts. But you need more. You got to add God with it. You need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But I'd say, keep making them. Keep trying to change. I hope that you say, you know what? I don't want any darkness around me in 2019. I really want to be that person of light. I really want to watch my words more cautiously than I ever have. You know, Proverbs 18:21, I think it is 18:21, says that you have the power of life and death in your tongue. And those that love it will find its reward. You have the power of life and death in your tongue for your neighbor, for your children, for your church body, for your spouse, and for yourself. I believe that children of light need to make a conscious effort to say, God, I don't want to speak empty words any longer. I want to speak words that have life. I think if there's one thing this next year, I want the Lord to watch over my words more cautiously than ever. And that requires Eric to watch over his words more cautiously. Oh, I wish I could just say, hey, God, change it. But that just ain't the way it works. I asked the Lord, God, help me lose weight. And the Lord said, no. Honestly. I said, God, help me lose weight. He said, no. I didn't help you gain it. Lose it. Lose it. We don't like that, do we? Something about that we don't like. He says that we ought not have anything to do with those fruitless deeds of darkness. And then he says like three words that bothers me. He said, but expose them. See, as Christians today in the world, we think we're not supposed to partake in the darkness, but leave it alone. Hey, just leave that darkness alone. And you've done your job. And I'm here to tell you, no, you have not. That's not what the Word of God says. He says, expose it. See, if you see that your neighbors are doing drugs on the street corner, you ought to call the cops. Say, what will they do about it? Probably nothing. But you made the phone call. If you see someone that you really believe is abusing their child, you ought to expose that darkness. How is light ever going to come in if we don't expose the darkness? But I believe the number one way that we expose the darkness is by bringing our light into their darkness. So the person that's known for gossip at your plant, and they huddle up to you, and boy, have you heard about Mary Sue? Oh my God. Woo-hoo. You expose the darkness by saying, you know what, I have not heard, and I do not want to hear. Please don't share that with me. But if you would like, we can pray together for Mary Sue. Would you like to pray with me for Mary Sue? You know what you just did? You exposed the darkness and made an enemy. But the neat thing about it is, if someone doesn't gossip with you, they're probably not gossiping about you. If someone gossips with you, they are probably gossiping about you. A gossip is a gossip is a gossip. And it's one of the things that God hates. Isn't that something? 1 Corinthians 5:9 says, don't keep company with sexually immoral people. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 17 says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Then he skips a little bit and he says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Are you separate? Does your life look different than the world that you live in? I think we're supposed to look a lot different. I think when you take a picture of the church today, I don't think there's nearly enough difference in the picture of the church and the picture of the world. And that bothers me. It ought to bother you. I'm not saying we get up on this religious high horse that we're better. We're not better. We're not better than anyone. But Jesus lives in us. He's done something new in us. We have something to share. And that's the light that's within us. Darkness prevails where light is absent. Darkness prevails where light is absent. Folks, it's normal for sinners to sin. But why is the world getting darker? Because the church is not letting their light shine. Jesus said, you're a city on the hill. Let your light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Say, Eric, are you going to take us all the way back to Children's Church? I think it's a message we probably need to get. I think that it may start off as being a little light, that when we give it some oxygen, we may find that thing wants to burn a whole lot brighter. The last verse in 14, he says, awake you who sleep. That's always a good verse to quote in my sermons. Hey, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Dear God, I hope that one never has to happen in the church. And Christ will give you light. You wonder where this light's going to come from? It comes from Him. But if you're not spending any time with Him, I'll guarantee you the world's got an agenda for you. The Bible says in 2 Peter, I believe it is, that the righteous man Lot, you remember Lot? The righteous man Lot, his soul was vexed or poisoned by the way he lived in the city. Sometimes I think that's happening to us. I think our soul is being poisoned because we haven't come out. We're trying to intermingle in the world in which we live. I have to be a part of this world. I still had to buy my groceries at Kroger. I still had to buy gas. I still had to pay my electric bill. I still had to be there. You still got to go to Dana to go to work or wherever you work. You still got to be a part of that society. But you need to come out while you're there and be separate, says the Lord, so that the light can shine in you. I believe that 2019 is all about this challenge. Will you accept the challenge of letting the light of Jesus shine in you? It may be words, and it may just be a life lived in excellence. I find sometimes words are cheap if the life doesn't back it up. Change is the way of Christ. If you have not changed lately, something's wrong. I find that all of life is about change. For those of you that don't like change, that probably doesn't make you feel real good. Me, I would move every year. I love to move. I love to trade cars. The only thing I keep is my wife. I just want to change inside as much as I change outside. If you've been stuck where you're at spiritually for a long time, that's not God's desire for you. God desires for you to grow. He really does. But it's up to you. Do you want to grow? Remember when Jesus taught that hard saying, taught that hard doctrine of, hey, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and then people started leaving, and he looked at his disciples and he said, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter said, to whom do we go? You have the words of life. Please listen to me. You're not going to find words of life on CNN. You're not going to find them on Fox. The only place that I know that you can find words of life is right here. And most of us never pick it up. If you want to change in 2019, it's got to include this book. This is the only way. This book, the Bible says, is alive. It's active. And it will divide your soul and spirit. David said, it's like life to me when I eat your word. Have you ever ate this book? Tear out a page right now. No. It's not what I'm saying. We devour it by reading it. Let me give you one more saying. We read it, and then we let it read us. That's fresh from the Holy Ghost. We read it, and then let it read us. And this book will tell you when your attitude stinks. This book will tell you that you're looking a little dark today, and I got something in store for you, and you need to have your light on. Would you stand with me? ...2019... is the time to get off the fence. A lot of Christians are living in the on the fence. You got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. That is such a miserable life. Been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt. No fun. You go to church, you're convicted. When you're in the world, you're not having fun because you know you're in the wrong place. Why not sell out to Jesus? I know that probably 99% of you, if not 100%, are born again today. As I speak, I know you're saved, but I also know I'm speaking truth to you. And I know it's not necessarily truth that we like to hear all the time, because it's convicting truth. It's the truth that says, I need to change. There's some darkness left in me. And the only way I can change it is by getting closer to the light. By devouring His Word and letting it change me. You see, God never changes you from the outside in. God always changes you from the inside out. We always try to change ourselves from the outside in. If I put on makeup, or told the class today, there was a time when I actually considered getting hair plugs. And if I had all the money that I ever wanted, I would do that. And then I'd just say, go ahead and pull that face up too. See, I don't have any problem with improving yourself. If that makes you feel better about yourself, do it. But then I saw the price tag and I thought, well, it ain't worth that. But there is no change that you can make to your outside that's as positive as the change that He can make to your inside. See, as He begins to change your heart, the outside follows. We try to change the outside, which we think will change the inside. And boy, I feel like an auctioneer. But that just doesn't happen that way. You get alone with Him and He changes you inside. And all of a sudden, this trifecta effect, this goodness, that righteousness, it just starts being who you are. All of a sudden, you'll think, I ought to do something for my neighbor. Well, where'd that come from? Maybe the Lord. How can I help somebody today? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every church member had a thought, I want to help somebody today? That's practical Christianity. We're so far from truth. We think Christianity is all about me getting to heaven. It's all about you taking everybody you know to heaven with you. As a Christian, you are a servant of God. Who are you serving? How are you serving? Any ideas? I think Paris needs a church that's full of life and full of light and full of service. My heart goes out to single mothers, widows, people that are struggling raising their children, elderly that have a hard time making it, either financially or just practical things. And meanwhile, the church just sits there like this. I'm sorry, but if your Christianity is not causing you to help somebody, I have real doubts that your Christianity will take you to heaven. I mean that. I do. I think He wants us to love each other. I think He wants us to help each other. I think He wants us to be light. I can't find anywhere in the gospel where Jesus went into a town and said, serve me. He went into a town and people with need started gathering around Him. And He served them. When you start serving others, you'll have a crowd at your door. And that scares you. What am I going to do? You know that prosperity thing that we talked about early? I think you start giving it out and He'll pour it in. But I find most of us, the only part of prosperity we want is to watch our own personal bank account go up. We're dams. We're not rivers. God wants us to be a river. Let it flow. If the ushers would come forward, we're going to... No. Ooh, it sounded like a good time to take an offering, boy. Are you thinking about some resolutions today? Do you want to change? Do you want 2019 to be exactly like 2018? Or would you like to see some change? You got to change. You, point yourself, me. I got to evoke the change. And I want that change to be light. For you. For me. I want to look more like Him in 2019 than I did in 2018. I want to be a person of light. I don't want to speak empty, vain words. I want to imitate Christ and speak words of life. Loving words, kind words, good words. In my mouth, I have the power of life and death. And so do you. And today you have a choice. Which will you speak? So that means when your spouse says something just a little bit sharp to you, you have a choice. You can either come back with another sharp word and the fight is on. Or you can be kind. I have to practice this all the time. Hail Mary, full of grace, Father, thou art with thee. Amen. Bow your head and let's pray and we'll dismiss you. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this sermon that challenges all of us to be children of light. I pray, God, that each one of us today, as we stand here in your presence, that we would make some pretty serious decisions of how we want to change, what resolutions we would like to see in our life. And God, I pray that at least one of them is to be more light than we have in the past. More like you. God, as we make those resolutions in the natural, they won't last very long. But if you'll add your super to our natural, we can accomplish it. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to empower those that want to be more light in 2019 to show us the way to do it. I'm asking you to have a genuine love of the Word of God. I pray, God, that there would be eaters in this place, that they would devour your word and learn of you to be more like you. I just pray, Jesus, that you don't leave any of us alone, that you work with us no matter where we're at, no matter where our starting point is, let us end up closer to you. If, in fact, that 2019 even ends, it may be the year of the Lord, and that would be okay too. God, may each one of us serve you with all of our heart. We repent of all the evil ways, all the wicked thoughts that we have done, and all the words of death that we have spoken over others, over ourselves. We repent that we have been known to gossip. We repent, God, that we have made bad choices. We choose to walk with you closer than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny.